Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to thank our 600,000 listeners. This is just wonderful. It keeps growing and growing. Thank you for sharing our show with your family and friends. Now, today, I'm going to be talking a little bit about stuff going on in the United States, about the jobs report, the consumer price index, recession, all that kind of good stuff, just for a few moments. But first, one of the things I just want to share with you, and I think it's really important, is according to research, 73% of Americans indicate the money is the number one cause of stress. With rising inflation, there's no doubt many of us are feeling the pinch and experience anxiety just to buy groceries, pay rent or mortgage, or even try to pay off the debt that we developed over the holidays. We have Michael Gilmore. He's also known as the $7 millionaire on the show. He discusses seven simple, effective ways to lower your money stress for the rest of the year. This is wonderful. Mr. Gilmore is the author of The Little Book of Zen Money, A Simple Path to Financial Peace of Mind. Its aim is to deliver easy-to-follow steps of combining sensible saving strategies with mindful practices in order to achieve financial peace of mind. Now, I think that's very cool because a lot of people are running into a lot of stress now. We've got a pending recession in the United States, inflation that's affecting everybody. We're seeing job loss. So being Zen when it comes to your money is going to be a big thing because it'll reduce that stress. With that, I want to introduce everybody to Michael Gilmore. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. That's a great introduction. And yeah, it's a very tough time for lots of people.
Yes, it is. But I want to tell people a little bit about you and then have you tell us a little bit about why you started getting into the books and developing those and authoring them. Mr. Gilmore has worked in the finance area for over two decades. He serves as a research director for Alabiza Capital. It's an independent boutique fund management company. He also is the founder of the internationally recognized Money Awareness and Inclusion Awards. This is basically the Oscars for the financial literacy. And the reality is there's supporters all over the world with this, which is really, really important. The more people are aware of money and their inclusion, I think that's gigantic. I think that's wonderful. Michael, I'd love for you to tell us a story, how you really got involved with all this. How did you get that $7 millionaire tag?
Two different parts to that. I'll tell you the first part first, which was how did I get involved with this? Was I didn't start out from college wanting to work in finance. I was a writer. I was doing postgrad research. I got offered a job working in finance. And essentially, I was one of those people like everyone else. I was scared. I was anxious about all the working in investment bankers. These people used jargon I didn't understand. I thought it'd be very complicated. I was really genuinely stressed about it. And I just had to drop into it, force myself through it for a couple of months, and very quickly got sort of three sensations. The first one was it was a lot easier than I thought. Once you get through the jargon, it's not like there's any complicated maths going on outside like the big quant funds. Most of it, I don't ever do anything much more complicated than division. You know, so it's like there was a lot of easy stuff in there. Secondly, though, I realized how powerful it was. I spent my whole life without realizing this. I was almost 30 at the time. And that was like, okay, this is really a lot easier than I thought and a lot more powerful than I thought. And a third wave hit me when I had those two realizations at the same time. And it was anger. I was so angry. I'd never been taught this. I thought, how did I spend 12, 15 years in full-time education and no one even gave me like a one-hour conversation about money? I felt anger like for everyone in the world that we do this. And so that really set in mind this sense of we need to fix this. This can be fixed and we need to fix it. So that's where that kind of strong motivation came from. And then years later, I was working in Singapore with migrant workers. I was volunteering at the weekends with migrant workers because they're one of the groups in the world that you can really help change. If you can change how they think about money, you know, you can really help change the world. They're trying to change poverty one family at a time. Mm-hmm. Many of them are just, they've left their families behind. They're trying to send money home. They're trying to save. And a lot of surveys show that less than 10% of them actually make the changes they want. So you can help them understand their money better. You can make that change. But while I was doing that, I realized my own daughter still wasn't being taught this stuff in school. So I then started working with her and saying, okay, and trying to make it fun with her. And then one day she said to me, okay, I can see that I might want $1 million one day, Daddy, but what's the smallest amount of money I need to save every day to become a millionaire by the time I want to retire? So we threw a bunch of parameters into a spreadsheet because it was funny. I thought, that's a number you should kind of know, right? Shouldn't we just know that? Isn't that easy? But it's not. There's a spreadsheet. Pulled out a spreadsheet and said, okay, let's assume we invest it. Let's assume it grows at a certain pace. Let's assume we retire by 70. Let's assume we start earning at 20. $7. And the spreadsheet said $7. Literally, I had to check it 3-4 times. So I was like, that's a small number. That's achievable for many people in the world. That's an achievable number. My daughter didn't believe it. We had to check it. And she's like, so I could be a $7 millionaire. And I was like, yeah, you could be a $7 millionaire. We could all be $7 millionaires. This is achievable. And that's why I use that name, because to me, those three words, $7 millionaire, are more interesting than Michael Gilmore. They tell a story all on their own. You could be a $7 millionaire. And that's why I keep with that, because my daughter and I, we sat on the sofa with a spreadsheet in front of us and we're just like, we were stunned. And we kept referring back to it afterwards. And, you know, I have to say, so I wrote a book for her. We wrote it together. And I think it's the most successful book in history, because she's now been working for more than 2 years and she's saved more than half of every single paycheck she's ever had. So as far as I'm concerned, that book had a one-person market and it's got 100% track record. So I'm just super happy with that book.
You know, it's so funny you say that, because I've had multiple conversations with nieces and nephews and relatives about saving. We did the math because my nephew got married and they were like, okay, you know, I'm freaking out about the stock market. I'm, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, what are you freaking out? You're 25. And I said, how much can you contribute? And they combined their income. And I said, how much do you need for your bills? How much do you need for this? And how much can you guys actually save? I actually said, if you guys can save the maximum comfortably and save this money for a house and all that kind of stuff, let me show you what compounding will do over the next 30 years. And 100%. When we showed them that, they realized that with the company, you know, matching and all that stuff, if they just worked for 30 years, by the age of 55, they would have well over $5 million in the account and work would be an option. And I said, Wouldn't you love to be in that earlier than later? And they're like, yeah.
And it's hard, right? Because when you said that, it's like, as a 54-year-old, that 55 number is really meaningful for me. I mean, when you're 25, it sounds a very long way away. But when you're 54, it's like, that's right there, right? And I think that's important, because sometimes we focus a little bit too much on the practicalities, and the practicalities are really important. But the inspiration is important too. It needs to be that long-term goal needs to be worth achieving. If you can say to them that this will happen, and you know, you can't guarantee, like, to the penny, $5 million and one penny that on that particular day, but in the ballpark, because it's a good ballpark to get to. And it's a way better ballpark than if you don't go in that direction.
I totally agree. My feeling is retirement's a long-term accumulation event. It's about, hey, we grind out our jobs every day. There's nothing wrong with grinding out your financing. But the cool thing about it, if it's a 401k or an IRA or some sort of a retirement savings account that you have, you can just set it and forget it as long as you have it. And don't freak out about the market, because it's going to go up and down. And when it goes down, you can buy a whole lot more. And when it goes up, you buy a whole lot less. When you get 3 or 4 years before you're about to retire, hey, let's pay attention to it a little bit more. But it's a long-term accumulation event. And I think that's wonderful.
And it is why the stress builds around this. And the statistic you said earlier on was very interesting, that 74% of people in the US Because if you look, there's some other statistics which break it down by income group. And if you break it down by income group, at the moment, it's something around 55% of Americans who earn more than $100,000 a year are stressed about money, which tells you something really important. It's not the money. It's the knowledge. It's that they don't know what they're doing with money, that they've never learned, that they, so they don't understand. Because $100,000 is enough money. Right, you can work your game out on $100,000 pretty easily, but it's not knowing what the game is, not understanding how to play it, that creates the stress. And that's where, you know, we can talk to people on $25,000 or $50,000 or $75,000 or $100,000, and there's different types of game and different things to do. But the key is, do you understand what you're doing? And that's where I think we can address that stress.
So stay right there. We're going to be right back with more Michael Gilmar. Stick with us. We'll be right back, folks.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We're here talking today with Michael Gilmar in his book, The Little Book of Zen Money, A Simple Path of Financial Peace of Mind. So, Michael, we just kind of set this whole thing up about saving consistently, even regardless of how much money you have, but you started talking about how you go about looking at money. So let's continue that conversation, because a lot of people look at it differently. And in fact, I know a lot of people in California that have $100,000 income, and quite frankly, they don't think they're going to afford a house or anything else. And they're worried about all sorts of things, and they're middle aged. I would love to hear that practicality that you have.
Yeah. So in the book, we refer to an acronym, MISSION. MISSION, seven letters, stands for money, income, saving, spending, investing, owning. And then, because missio doesn't mean anything, we add the last one on, now, which is when we have to start, because there's no other time to start. Mm-hmm. And we use that through the $7 millionaire projects, because what the idea with that is that we give people signposts on a path, because all of these things are a pathway. You don't end up, when you start at 25 and you only think about retirement, it's kind of hard. And there's a pathway to understanding. And that's why we use that in the tagline of the book, you know, a simple path to financial peace of mind, because it is a pathway, you know. And this is one of the problems, is that if you kind of wait till you're 35 and you've got a mortgage and you got this and you got that, and you don't understand the simple basics, it's like coming at a path from the side. I don't know if you've ever done this, but when I grew up in the west of England, and we go for country walks, and you're on a green field, grass field, you can see the path in front of you. But if you come at it from the side, you can't even see it. It's invisible, because it's just a bit of bent over grass, right? That's what you see. It's shining back at you. You come at a path from the side, you cannot see it. And that's what we do with money. Because we don't teach the fundamentals, we tend to come at it from the side, and we just walk straight across the pathway. And that's what we try and do in the book, is say, okay, look, let's just start at the very basics. What is money? This is something you get from putting your time and your energy and your creativity into something. And that's what you get back, is you get someone else's time and energy and creativity. So what is investing? It's getting more time and energy and creativity back than you put in. And you have to put your money into things that create that grow that value. And that's why that's a pathway. Once you understand this, this is not a Money is not a status game. It's not a way of showing off. It's not a way of doing all these crazy, stupid things. It's a way your time and your energy in, your time and your someone else's time and energy out. And once you get that, and that's where your pathway is going, you understand what those steps are, the whole thing becomes much more straightforward. You see where you're going to go. You see where you want to go. You can even veer off the path occasionally. It doesn't matter. You take your own pathway because you know where it's going to go, but you understand what those steps are.
Now that we understand where the steps are, everybody wants something really simple when it comes to the financial industry on how to invest responsibly, but easy to understand. There's a lot of people out there, they're reading all these things. And in fact, I talked to one lady today, she just goes, I just don't know. Well, I'm reading all these books and all that kind of stuff. And I know when they start going Google, too much information and they just shut down. So how can we make it easy for somebody to be a responsible investor?
That's coming with time, I'm afraid, Steve. It's such a new industry. You mentioned earlier on, I founded a thing called the Money Awareness and Inclusion Awards. And this year, we put in a new award for sustainable finance literacy, because we find that it's probably one of the thinnest areas in the world in terms of talent. I think all the surveys say that maybe a third of the people in the world are financially literate. It's a smaller number of people that are sustainability literate, because it's a complex subject. I mean, you scratch the surface of it, but it's a very complex subject. And when you put that Venn diagram together of people that are sustainability literate and people that are financially literate, there's very, very few people. And that's the problem. That's where the financial industry is building this. I think it's a shame. There's a lot of backlash because of the lack of this understanding of how complex it is. They got a lot of overpromising by the marketing people.
I think there are people buy into delusions of diversification because they don't understand it. They just say, hey, if I do this, this, and this, and then they find out when during the tech bubble, everything went down 70% and they thought they were diversified, but then they realized that all the different mutual funds they had the same tech companies just in the last year. Similar situations happened. So understanding that makes a big difference. I agree with you. Continuing that education is important. Never stop learning about money, because it'll make you better off. It'll make you more confident. It'll make you smarter, regardless of how old you are.
100%. It's also enjoyable. I mean, I work in the industry and I find it always, it's great to always learning new things. The important part is that we need to start with the very basics, because if you try and learn on a shaky fundamentals, that's where you kind of run into problems, because you kind of learn stuff that doesn't really mean anything. Like, some of the tech valuations, people actually talked about them like they were real, but these weren't real valuations. So of course they fell apart all of a sudden. There was no cash flow running out of these businesses. So there was no actual real meaning to any of this. So that's where I believe it's about building up on fundamentals. That's where it's so important that we do that. But you can never stop learning about investing. You'll keep on learning more. It's the nature of the market. The market's a very fast learner. And that's, if you're going to be in the market, you've got to try and learn at some kind of pace. If you're not a professional investor, I would always advise just, keep it as simple as you can and learn what you want to learn and slowly adjust, but keeping an appropriately diversified portfolio, meaning something that's pretty much balanced like the economy. You want to basically grow in line with the economy. So a little bit of tech, but a little bit of old economy, a little bit of services, a little bit of consumer, that'll probably treat you about right.
You have mindfulness exercises, mantras, meditations that help keep people centered. Could you share a few of those with us?
Well, I think the most important one that we have, I treat it like, I think a lot of Zen and meditation talk about journaling. And when we bring that to money, how are we going to journal about money? I think there's kind of two ways that we can actually approach this. The first way, which so few people do, is actually tracking their spending. Every single thing, people just guess. And any psychological research says that people maybe remember 5 out of 10 things on a list, maybe 6, occasionally 7. But if you're forgetting 3 things out of 10, that's 30% of your spending. You've got no idea where it's going. And maybe it's 50% of your spending. So you can't know how you budget. Your budget's going to be totally inaccurate. So tracking your spending is really important. And there is a Zen concept to this as well, because one of the best definitions of Zen is not blissing out, it's seeing reality directly. So until you track your spending, you're not looking at reality. You're just imagining. So tracking that spending and taking a little piece of paper with you, writing down every single thing you do, adding that up, knowing where it goes, segmenting it, knowing I spend this much on X, this much on Y. Oh, that's way different from what I ideally budgeted. Okay, well, then I need to change my budget a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. And that is just, it doesn't sound like a mindfulness technique, but that's mindful because that will bring you knowledge. The second one I love to do is and this is more like kind of free writing exercise, just sit down and write a list of things I love doing that aren't expensive, maybe free. Every time I do it, it's different. One thing that's always on there is going for a walk. I love going for a walk. It's like, who goes for too many walks, right? No one goes for too many walks. People walk too much, some people, but they're walking one place to another. Going for a walk, it's free. I love it. You think, your mind develops. It's a great thing to do. Another thing could just be like, you know, popping out for like just to buy something with the kids, something cheap down the shops and making sure you go with them. Mm-hmm. Right. Just spend that little bit of extra time that you didn't have to spend with them. All these kinds of things. Every time I write a list, there's something new in there. And it's a free writing exercise. But one of the other ones, which is less enjoyable, but I do sometimes, is some of my most expensive occasions. Like, where do I spend the most money? And what I like to do with that is then compare those two lists. Happiest occasions, most expensive occasions. Because if they're not exactly the same list, it tells me I don't need to spend this money. And there's a very often you hear someone say to you, I'm sure someone said it to you, Steve, I don't want to save. I just want to enjoy myself now. But if you're saying that, you're saying spending, enjoyment, exactly the same thing. But that's basically the underlying principle of that statement, which is not true. If you can have a different list of most enjoyable times and most expensive times, they're not the same thing. And you can look at that list of things you enjoy doing and do more of them and think of more of them. And that becomes your life. And then your saving becomes so much easier because you're happier because you're doing things you enjoy.
I call it my experience effect. It's so funny that you can have a wonderful experience and not spend a lot of money. And you can go to one of the most expensive things and just go, wow, that was deflating, or it never lived up to your expectations. So it's very, very, very interesting.
One of the things we have in the book is we have a series of steps of things you can do and exercises you can try. And one of them I call imbue, which is kind of an old fancy word, but imbue just means add value to things. And add value to things, and you just do it by thinking about it. Literally, like, let's look at this. I've got a little cup in front of me. You know, rather than just ignoring it or drinking from it, remember who gave this to me, when they gave it to me, why they gave it to me, how much the rude thing it says on it, which I won't show you, makes me laugh when I look at it. You know, that kind of thing, right? But the more you think about it, the more you get from it because you imbue it. That's what advertising does for us. But it's fake. But I can do it for myself. And it's real. And that is something that's a simple exercise, free, and this becomes more valuable to me as a result.
Michael, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I always know when it's a good interview because it goes like that. Where can people get the little book of Zen Money?
So on Amazon is the easiest place to look for it. There's a special website called zenmoney.net. Super easy to find. And on there, we've got some of those steps that I talked about, the individual daily steps you can do. I think there's maybe 20 of the 50 steps that are in the book. So people can try them out and have a play with them. And some of those ones I mentioned were on there, but also some excerpts from the book as well to see what the book's like.
One last thing. How do people get involved with the Money Awareness and Inclusion Awards?
Please. So that's the maiaawards.org, the My Awards. Any project you know or you think of or you've seen that you think is teaching people about money in a really interesting way, it can be entered into the awards. We're looking for everything in the whole world. We think it's one of the things that was missing right now in solving this problem is just gathering it all together. There's lots of people like you, Steve, that are doing great work all over the world, and yet we don't know about it. And unfortunately, that means a lot of that work reinvents the wheel, gets missed, stays small. Mm-hmm. And we need to build the momentum for this. It's really important that we don't let another generation head into another crisis and think, why didn't anyone tell me that this could happen? Why is this happening? We could avoid that really easily.
People repeat a lot of what their parents do all the time because they just don't know. Michael, this has been wonderful. Thank you for being with the show. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with us. I'm going to put a link up on our website for your book. So if people want to connect with the book, they can do that. And I'm also going to put a link for your website there as well as the award. So if people want to be involved, they can be involved. So thank you for being with us today. You have a great year and don't freeze, okay?
Thank you very much, Steve. You have a great year too.
All right. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Stick with us. We'll be right back, folks.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. This is all about making sure you have a happy, healthy relationship with money. And right now, I want to share a little bit with you a table that came from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. So let's go back. For January, you saw the report come out from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, and its job report indicated that there was 517,000 new jobs in January. And it arrived at this courtesy number of the household survey. The Bureau of Labor and Statistics also admitted that these jobs were added what's called via population control effect, which is also known as an accounting gimmick. Now, if we remove the gimmick and you take a look at the screen, this comes from the Labor and Statistics Bureau. You'll notice that we only gained 84,000 jobs last month. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. It's their own chart. Okay. So here's the other thing. What's crazy about this is investors are actually buying into the market based off this stuff. Secondly, there's a yield curve. Okay. It's called an inverted yield curve, and it still functions as a telltale sign of a recession to come. Bloomberg commentary, Lisa Abramowitz, she even said the idea of a soft landing or no landing gets into more and more fraught. This inversion is the benchmark for the U.S. yield curve, and it's plummeted due to the most recent consumer price index. Folks, this is the time to be cautious. You want to pay attention to this because we're in a tougher situation than we think. Recession's right around the corner where people are still losing their jobs. So again, this is what it means to you. So when it comes to investing or anything else, I encourage you to proceed with caution. I want to thank you again for joining us today on Saving with Steve. If you would like to see all the other episodes, you can go to www.savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show, and check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, among others. All these networks, they're dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. You can also follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton, Insider Club, savingwithsteve.us. You get you all the replays, exclusive access to our shows, guest gifts, and a whole bunch more. Hey, look, I want to say thank you for joining us today. We'll look forward to seeing you next week, and be safe out there. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.